Welcome back to Talk of the Town on 99.7 and 1450 WHTC, on WHTC.com, and on the WHTC app for your smartphone. Once again, here's your host, Gary Stevens.
Welcome back to Talk of the Town for this Wednesday, April 24th, as we are broadcasting live from the Gateway Spoon Restaurant, East 24th Street and US 31 in Holland. Stop on by. We're here until 11:30 this morning, and we'll be, and if you do stop on by, please register to win a gift card to the Gateway Spoon. One grand prize winner will receive a $100 gift card, one will receive a $50 gift card, and one will receive a $25 gift card. We'll announce the winners tomorrow on Talk of the Town, but stop on by and have a chance to win. We are now joined by investment advisors Kerry Cooley and Brent Kerwacker with the Cooley Godfrey Investment Group. They host the Money Matters program, heard every Saturday morning around 10 here on 99.7 and 1450 WHTC. Gentlemen, thank you very much for stopping by here at the Gateway Spoon and, shall we say, at a little different venue for your conversation.
Yes, so excited to be here. Love the fact that your listeners can win a gift card. We just bought cinnamon rolls for the office, and your dollar goes a long way here. I was shocked. 5 cinnamon rolls, less than $15. So
that's awesome.
Good deal.
Yeah.
It certainly is. And they'll be talking about some things going on in not only the markets, but also some financial items. If you have a question for them, Dan is bending the phones back in our studios. Dan Evans, 616-395-14. 1450-616-395-1450. He'll let us know if you call, and we'll get you on the air. 616-395-1450. Before we talk a little bit about some of the items in the news, Kerry, I want to talk a little bit about the upcoming seminar, I believe, that you guys will be hosting. I do want to make people aware of this involving Social Security.
Yeah, every year we do a Social Security workshop. It focuses on a lot of questions that people have around Social Security, like when are you eligible? When's the best time to take Social Security? You know, what's the future of Social Security? And we have a special speaker joining us from MFS, which is one of our vendors that we handle their mutual funds for. And this speaker goes all around the country just talking about Social Security. And we're going to have this on September 26th of this year. And it's, I know it's kind of early that we're announcing this here, Brent, but people have already made reservations for this. So if you want to reserve a spot, the number to call is 616-931-1223, extension 4.
Repeat that, please.
616-931-1223, extension 4.
Yes, we look forward to having people out. Our seminars have been filling up every year, and I'm being told I'm hard to hear because I'm not using this microphone quite right.
Just get a little bit closer. That's all right. Go ahead.
Trying my best here. How is that?
That'll be fine. Go ahead.
Okay, perfect. So, yeah, I was just saying all of our seminars tend to fill up at capacity, and we do have to start waiting lists, so we're just starting it a little early this time, probably going to have about 150 people there.
Yeah. Great speaker, good information, answer questions, because, I mean, the questions never stop. That's probably most of that hour that we spend is questions from the audience.
All right, 616-395-1450, 616-395-1450. Let's start first with maybe it doesn't seem that big for a lot of people. Some of our listeners, yes. But for many other people, we just don't use the mail as much as we used to. We don't write letters as much. We pay our bills online, electronically, or it's even automatically taken out of our accounts. So to a certain extent, using the U.S. mail isn't as much of a priority or urgency as it was in the past. And the United States Postal Service is reflecting that. We got another price hike for first-class mail.
Yeah, I know. Can you believe it? So I mentioned, Brent knows I talk about this a lot, but I used to be a stamp collector, so I kind of know these facts. And so it's an alternative investment, hasn't made me much money. But 1980, postage stamps were 15 cents. Now, let's talk about the Postal Service on April 9. there's a notice that they're going to increase the price from 68 to 73%, which is 73 cents. And this is an increase, the fourth since 2023, and it's a 33% increase over the last 4 years. So what's that doing? It's pushing people to doing email, automatic bill pay. People just aren't sending mail as much anymore. And if this keeps going, there won't be any mail. I don't know.
Although technically it's, I believe, law and all that, that the service needs to be provided. But the U.S. Postal Service has definitely been running in a deficit for a number of years. The junior U.S. senator, soon to be the senior U.S. senator from the state of Michigan, Gary Peters, the Detroit area Democrat, has been involved with Postal Service matters over the last several years. And let's just say it's been a little quiet from his office since we saw this latest increase.
Just another sign, though. Expenses keep going up.
They do. Yep.
616-395-1450. When we do have some tough times economically, the advertisers come out of the woodwork like roaches. I'm sorry to say, yes, like roaches. Gold! Buy gold! Buy silver. You know, it's a hedge against tough times ahead. Well, gold prices are going up, and, you know, see, if you bought gold earlier, you'd have lots more money now. I'm sorry. Buying precious metals, you got to have some knowledge to know, to me, knowing mm-hmm. how to do it. Mm-hmm. Of course, you guys have some knowledge, so we'll bring it up to you guys.
Brent.
Yeah. You want me to start with gold? Certainly. Yeah. So gold and silver has had a fantastic start to the year this year. And gold closed up 18.3% above its 200-day moving average. We've been seeing silver do similar things. But interesting fact that I was not aware of and just till recently, Costco, which is a publicly traded company, so we can't necessarily recommend to buy or sell that over the years, but Costco began selling 1 ounce gold bars online beginning in 2023. And not only that, they've been selling between $100 and $200 million worth of gold every month since 2023. And so I'm sure that also helps push the price of gold up.
You know, gold as an investment, you know, is good as an alternative. But it's not right for everybody. We're not recommending that. Every individual is unique, and it has to fit the portfolio. You know, the interesting thing about a gold, if you have a gold bar sitting at home, it doesn't earn you any interest. You have to sell it to make your money, where if you have your money, let's say in a bank savings account, at least you're making interest on it. So there's some different things to think about when investing in precious metals.
That is a way, though, to keep pace with inflation or even maybe outpace inflation a little bit. So it is an alternative investment. But typically, the stock market has well outperformed the price of gold and silver.
And keep in mind, this is something when Jack was with us, and Carrion and Carrion Brand as well, has mentioned the fact that and basically almost any financial advisor worth his or her salt will tell you, diversify your investments. Don't hang your hat on stocks. Don't hang your head on precious metals. Don't hang your hats on futures or anything like that. You know, diversify so that, yeah, you might, if you stay in one, you might get lots of money, but then if that goes south, your money goes south as well.
Investing 101, diversification.
Yep.
If you got a question for Kerry Cooley, Brent Kerwacker from the Cooley Godfrey Investment Group in Zeeland, 616-395-1450, 616-395-1450. Not too surprised. This is not a talking point in the political scene for 2024. It seems as if the dialogue by the party in power has been more toward human interest items than it is maybe the financial and the checkbook items. And certainly this is something that, shall we say, the party in power right now in Washington and to a certain extent in Lansing may not want us to talk about. According to the National National Federation of Independent Business, small business sentiment in the U.S. hit its lowest level since December 22. That was last month. Currently in the bottom 4th percentile of all monthly readings since 1986. And inflation, the number one problem for a quarter of small businesses polled. This is 2024. This is not 1974, Kerry Cooley.
Yeah, that is correct. You know, small businesses, and Brent can attest to this, is that small businesses rely a lot on borrowing money to grow and borrowing money from the bank. And at higher interest rates, they're just not doing it. They've slowed their growth. And another thing we have to be conscious of is small businesses also employ the majority of U.S. people. And they're the backbone of our economy. So, you know, when the Federal Reserve looks at raising or lowering interest rates, they need to look at the entire picture, including small business. And when we see a lot of good earnings reports coming out of large businesses, we also need to consider the small business.
Well, no, you're absolutely right. So small businesses have been hurt by rising costs.
Yep.
Now throw on top of that higher borrowing cost. And, of course, wage increases have been a big thing over the last couple of years. In order to keep employees or attract employees, you've had to pay them more. So small businesses are certainly feeling the pinch, and that's why the most recent survey says they're not feeling excited right now about current prospects in the economy.
Go ahead, Kerry.
Well, you know, there's one thing in our report here, too, that earnings seasons, first quarter is out. So 64% of the companies out there, and I'm talking large companies, have reported above estimated earnings. So these large companies are doing good. The small companies are, as we mentioned, struggling a little bit. But, you know, they have to cut back on employees. They have to watch their wages. They have to watch their benefits. You know, all of that plays into this and affects the small company more than the large company.
Well, let's talk a little more about the large companies a minute. Absolutely, they're actually doing very, very well. First quarter earnings have came out, and over 64% of the companies have already beat the consensus earnings per share estimates, and 62% of them beat the consensus sales estimates. So large companies having a fantastic quarter.
Yeah.
And really carrying the market. The market's doing really well. April's been, we've given a little back in April, but January through March, fantastic months. And typically the second half of April does better than the first half of April.
Yeah.
We've almost
yeah.
closed the end of the month here, so we'll see if that holds true.
Well, and speaking of carrying the market, you probably heard in the news what's called the Magnificent Seven. Mm-hmm. These are seven stocks in the S&P 500. Yeah. And in 2023, those seven alone were up 76%. If we remove those seven from the S&P 500, the remaining 493 returned last year, average 8%. Huge difference. But again, that doesn't mean go and chase those seven. It means they can fluctuate. It means going back to diversification.
616-395-1450. If you have a question for Kerry Cooley or Brent Kerwacker from the Cooley Godfrey Investment Group, 616-395-1450. Let me double back for a moment on the small business aspect. And this is more of a consumer topic, perhaps.
Okay.
But it also ties into a small business, and it ties into what we're here for, as we are here at the Gateway Spoon Restaurant, East 24th and US 31 in Holland. Got a story last week from our wire services. California's minimum wage hike for fast food employees is leading to higher prices for customers. The minimum wage in the Golden State rose from $16 to $20 per hour on April the 1st. A study from the Kalinowski Equity Research says since then, menu prices at some fast food restaurants have increased by up to 8%. And higher prices has basically force people to make some hard decision about other options, including perhaps staying at home. That hurts small business.
Mm-hmm. It most certainly does. Wages have been a killer for the restaurant business. I've seen postings, you know, $19, $20 an hour to work in fast food. That's a lot of money. That means your hamburger chicken sandwich is going to have to cost more.
Mm-hmm. And so wages have to go up, and then that's just passed on to the consumer. And so now the question comes, do we stay at home? Do we both work? You know, all these questions. And that question became more prevalent during the pandemic. You know, we had a lot of families say, hey, we don't need two jobs. One can stay at home. But just because of inflation and now getting paid more, people think, well, I'm making more. Well, inflation eats away. So are you really getting a pay increase? Yeah, you are on paper, but what you're taking home is probably about the same.
You got both you, Kerry, and Brent are investment advisors. So this might be more of a question for our economist friends, such as Dr. Brian Long over at Grand Valley State. But as a layman in this whole thing, if you raise prices, you raise overhead, and the cost of living goes up.
Yep.
So basically, yes, you might get more money on your wage, but you're going to have to spend more to get the basically to buy the same amount you were spending less for in the past.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that's as easy as it gets. And if you guys remember, it wasn't that long ago, the UAW strikes, and they finally came to an agreement, and it was significant.
Yeah.
And I don't remember the number anymore, but then the big three came out and said, we now are going to raise cost on cars to cover it. So it's exactly what you just said.
And then
it
all of a sudden, there is job cuts. And the howls from our friends over at the Union Hall in Detroit can be heard all the way across the state.
Yeah. I was going to say, interesting thing on the most recent inflation report, which we didn't really talk about that. Inflation did increase
slightly.
Biggest component of that, auto insurance. So as your auto insurance renewal dates are coming up, you're going to see likely a big increase there, that more so than maybe in times past.
Yeah, and wasn't recent law passed to keep insurance rates low? Well, you know, it's not happening.
I don't know how much of hurricane season impacts all of us, but without question, that was the biggest contributor, auto insurance, in the most recent report.
And gentlemen, don't get me started about auto insurance in this state, because I read something a couple of weeks ago talking about the number of uninsured drivers per state in Michigan was like the fifth highest in the nation.
Really?
And Michigan's monthly and yearly average for auto insurance is still the highest in the nation.
Wow.
I can. D.C., by the way, was first in that particular study. Gentlemen, I want to bring you this story that was on our wire services earlier this week. A new study finds that in most states in these United States, a single person needs to earn over six figures, over $100,000 annually, to live comfortably. Using the MIT Living Wage Calculator, a smart asset analysis reveals the national median for living comfortably alone is over $89,000. The most expensive states, Massachusetts, Hawaii, California, New York, and Washington, where you need to make well over $100,000 to live comfortably, which defined as the monthly income needed to cover a 50-30-20 budget. 50% of earnings for necessities, such as housing and utility costs, 30% for discretionary spending, and 20% for savings or, as the coolie got for your investment group, would be involved with investments. Least expensive states include West Virginia, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Dan Evans, and Kentucky. That's North Dakota, by the way, for the rest of you. Gentlemen, your thoughts about that particular story?
Yes. You have to define comfortably, obviously. That's different for every person. Your lifestyle may be different than mine, and Carrie's is certainly different than both of ours. Sorry, a little jab at Carrie. But I would say for younger people coming into the workforce and wanting to buy a house at today's prices, I think that's probably pretty darn close, 90 to 100 grand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Housing costs, you're probably looking at $2,000, $2,500 a month. Throw property taxes on there. Throw all the maintenance that goes with that. That's a big portion of your budget. And then just food cost.
Well, I can attest to that. My son, who just bought a house, his monthly payment with escrow and taxes and everything is right around $2,100 a month.
Yeah, so there's 25 grand right there.
Yep. And now here's the interesting thing. However, when he was living in Indianapolis area, he's paying $2,800 a month for rent. So his house payment is lower. He's building equity, but still, it's a big part of his income.
Yeah, absolutely. So that study's probably not too far off. But for those that maybe are in their 60s, that have maybe their house paid off and such. We got someone raising their hand over here. Maybe don't need quite as much money, but I certainly think for a younger person, that's probably not too far off in today's world. Throw some kids in there and your money's gone.
Now, granted, we are talking today 9 days after income tax day, and for a change we had income tax day on the 15th, and it wasn't pushed back because of Patriots Day or some Washington DC holiday or anything like that. It was April 15th. Therefore, I would assume some of your clients, gentlemen, maybe have had to file the extension.
Yeah, that's an interesting fact there. There's estimated to be 146 million taxpayers in the U.S., of which 20 million had to file extensions. And if you are one of those people that had to find an extension, there is a warning there that if you owed taxes or if you're going to have to pay in, that money was still due on April 15th.
It was, yep.
Now, if you were going to get a refund, no issue, you file your extension. But you, if you think you were going to owe money and you did not pay it on April 15th, you will get hit with interest charges of 8%.
Ow, 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 ow.
Well, I can say I'm one of those that filed for extension, but I did pay my quarterly. So.
And being a small businessman as you are, Kerry Cooley, you got to keep that in mind, not only for your own income, but also, you know, paying the business taxes as well.
Yeah, yes, we do. Yeah, both Brett and I have to do that every quarter, paying our taxes. And that's another part of, you know, our wages. You know, we have to look at all that, and that builds into inflation.
Finally, note, investing is at all-time highs. I always think, you know, there are some of us that absolutely know nothing about investing, especially in the markets, but apparently maybe the economics lessons are starting to be learned, Brett Kerwacker.
Well, Les, we should throw in a little bit of investing since you had us here to talk as financial advisors. So the biggest question we keep receiving, and I think we're short on time here, is should I be investing right now with the market at all-time highs? Quick answer, short on time. The answer is yes. When you invest at a new high, you tend to actually have better returns than on investing on any other day than an all-time high. So is that enough time to?
That's enough time to bring it up. More, go to CooleyGodfrey.com, I believe, is the website, right?
It is, yeah.
And, of course, Brent Kerwacker, Kerry Cooley will be hosting Money Matters this Saturday morning at 10 here on 99.7 and 1450 WHTC. Gentlemen, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Gary.
More from the Gateway Spoon following news on 99.7 1450 WHTC.